A cargo ship lost power and then rammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore very early this morning. And in a matter of seconds, the bridge was plunged into the river, or into the, sorry, the water. It is something that you do have to see to truly appreciate. And yes, there were people who plunged into the water as well. Now, being the time of day that it was, just after midnight, there certainly wasn't as much traffic as there could have been. The bridge stretches 2.6 kilometers total. It's used by 12 million vehicles every year. So this is a very, very busy artery. And it's a tragic incident. Again, it's one that you have to see the pictures to truly appreciate what is going on. And we have an opportunity to talk about what would cause a bridge to completely crumple and collapse after being hit by a ship. You would think that this was something that wouldn't be all that common, but it would certainly be a possibility. So we were able to sit down with Dr. Ashraf Eldamati. Dr. Eldamati is a professor and chair in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Western University. And we talked with Dr. Eldamati about the visuals of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore and the fact that it's one of the longest bridges in the United States. And yet, when you look at this, it looks like a broken toy.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. It's very surprising. And I was astonished when I saw the picture and listened to the news, because you don't expect something like that to happen for such an important bridge, which is the fourth longest bridge in the U.S. in terms of span. Yeah, yeah.
And so, how would something like this happen, I think, is the question that everybody keeps asking, because if you have, in this case, the fourth longest span of bridge in the United States, that's a large bridge. We're looking at 1,200 feet in its main part. You would think, okay, the integrity is going to be good. They have a lot of traffic over that. Is this just a matter of something making contact with maybe one of the weak points, or could this be something more?
I think what happened first, this bridge should be, the pier should be designed for collision. So the highway bridge code, the AASHTO, which is a bridge code in the United States, and also the Canadian bridge code, they specify forces that the designer has to apply to the piers, which represents the amount of force to expect when an accident like that happens. And the pier should be able to be designed to resist such forces. Now, the code gives you the options. Either you make the pier very strong, or you have to provide some devices to absorb the collision that can happen. Okay, you can provide, they can build piers around the pier itself, small columns, so they can absorb the energy. They can put some rubber material. They can provide an island. But as a designer, as an engineer, you need to do something about it. You don't leave it like that. My expectation, this bridge, it's relatively old, so probably it was not designed for this kind of loads, and probably there was no proper protection system applied, and then the force was too strong that the pier cannot take it. It's kind of bridge that doesn't have redundancy. So in some systems, you can have redundancy such that if one pier collapses, the other piers can carry the load, but it's a system that does not have redundancy. So once one pier collapses, it's the end of the structure, and the structure becomes unsupported. So probably, unfortunately, that's what happened, I believe.
It is an absolutely tragic situation. You've no doubt seen the pictures in Baltimore, and we are talking right now with Dr. Ashraf Eldamati, who is a professor and chair in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Western University. And now, of course, the goal is to be able to rescue anyone who can be rescued. But the goal is also to rebuild a bridge like this. Dr. Eldamati, how long a process could it be to build something that spans this amount of space?
I think it will take a long time, for sure. We are talking about more than a year for sure, no doubt about that, to design and then build such large span bridge. And I'm sure that's going to be, it will cause a lot of issues and a lot of traffic issues and a lot of problems in Baltimore, but this is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I think we learn something from it in Canada here, at least. I think bridge inspection is very important. There are requirements in the CSCA that bridge inspection should happen regularly. And then once the bridge is inspected, deficiencies like that should be pointed out, should be brought to the structural engineer, and then we should be prepared. Especially, my surprise, this is very critical bridge. Like they classify the bridges based on how critical they are. So this should come as one of the most critical bridges. Then they should have been very careful in terms of inspection and in terms of reporting any deficiency, and they had to do something about it. And that's what we need to do in Canada for our major critical bridges.
Dr. Al-Damati, thank you so much for your expertise today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Ashraf Al-Damati, professor and chair in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Western University. And so, as he says, yeah, there should have been some kind of pier, something to absorb impact from any ship that could make contact. That did not exist, it appears. And this is the tragic situation that we get. So we'll continue to follow what happens there with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.